last Thursday, when we were still in ordinary time, we gathered to reflect a little bit on the series that Pope Francis gave on the vices and the virtues. And it happened that on Thursday, we covered the virtue of faith. In that talk, Pope Francis mentioned as examples of faith Abraham, Moses, and the Blessed Virgin Mary. And then, because I was giving the talk, I threw in another example because I wanted to fill out the picture a little bit. I used the example of the centurion, who's the central figure of today's gospel. So here we are in Advent. This is actually the second day of Advent, started yesterday. And the very first weekday gospel is the story of the centurion. So the liturgy, the church, recognizes that this man is a great Advent example. He's a great model for us to follow. He gives us understanding of how to enter into this Advent season, the centurion. He's a man of faith. He's a man of humility. He's a man who recognizes the authority of Jesus and who submits himself to Jesus' authority, recognizing that Jesus can heal his servant merely by saying the word, by giving the command. And Jesus honors this centurion by saying, "Amen, I say to you, in no one in Israel have I found such faith." As if to say the centurion has more faith than anyone else Jesus has ever met. Now, that's a little bit of hyperbolic language. That's a bit of an exaggeration. But Jesus is making the point that this man is a great example of faith. Why do I say it's an exaggeration? Because Jesus grew up with Mary and Joseph. He knew that they had more faith than the centurion, for sure. Okay, but aside from Mary and Joseph, and perhaps some other faithful ones, Simeon and Anna, and we could pick out a few others, but still, Jesus is making the point, this is the kind of faith we're supposed to have, the faith of the centurion. Usually, the liturgy puts this gospel about the centurion together with a first reading from Isaiah chapter 2. But in year A, it's different, because we had that reading yesterday. So in order to give us greater exposure to the great book of Isaiah in the season of Advent, we read a different passage from Isaiah today, because we're in year A and we have the reading from Isaiah chapter 2 yesterday. But still, yesterday's first reading goes very well with today's gospel, and this alternative reading, Isaiah chapter 4, is not as good, frankly, as the reading from yesterday. So I want you to recall yesterday's reading, yesterday's first reading, Isaiah chapter 2. It's a prophecy in which the Isaiah says that that Mount Zion, that the city of Jerusalem is going to be the magnet for all the nations, for all peoples, that everyone will find security and unity and peace by going to Jerusalem, all peoples. That's one part of the prophecy. And then in the later part of the prophecy, it's a declaration of universal peace. They will beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. One nation shall not raise the sword against another. So it's a prophecy of the peace that will reign when the Messiah comes. But that's why this gospel is well chosen as a fulfillment of that Isaiah prophecy. Those of you who follow the liturgy know that in Advent, we almost always have in the weekday masses a prophecy from Isaiah and the fulfillment of that prophecy in Jesus in the gospel. And that's the pattern. Well, it fits very well. If we look at yesterday's first reading and today's gospel, here we have a prophecy that says all nations will go to the Lord in Jerusalem on Mount Zion. All the nations will go to the chosen people. Even the Romans?
Even the Romans?
Yes, even the Romans. Even a Roman centurion? An oppressor? A soldier? A man of weaponry? War? Yes, even a Roman centurion. So you can see there's no limit to the application of the prophecy. Even a Roman centurion can go to Jerusalem. Now, in this gospel, he doesn't go to Jerusalem. He goes to Capernaum. This is in Galilee, heathen Galilee. He doesn't go to the temple. He doesn't go to Mount Zion. He goes to Jesus. So the fulfillment of the prophecy is not Jerusalem, the city, the mountain, the physical mountain. The fulfillment of the prophecy is Jesus himself, the new temple. The business about beating swords into plowshares, the centurion does not beat his sword into a plowshare. He still has a sword. He's still a centurion. He's still on duty overseeing the Roman occupation of Capernaum. And yet, he is a man of peace. He's a man of compassion, a man of humility. He has this deep concern for his servant, who is not a Roman, and is not a centurion, he's a slave. Deep concern for him because he's paralyzed and he's suffering dreadfully. So the centurion, while still being a centurion, is a man of other-centeredness, not a man of oppressive power, but of service. So you can see the beautiful direction that Advent takes us in. What are we to do? To be like this centurion, to be willing to submit ourselves to the authority of Jesus Christ, to be willing to grasp, to hold on to the power of God's word, which has healing power, to be willing to put ourselves on the line for someone else, especially for someone suffering, for the poor, the sick, to be other-centered. These are all Advent dispositions. And it's these qualities of the centurion that make us ready for the coming of the Messiah. Whether we're waiting for December 25 or we're ready for an unknown day and hour, these are the right dispositions to have: faith, humility, submission, compassion, like the centurion. So that's an Advent instruction for us. And I know I'm bypassing today's first reading. It's just harder to apply. So look at yesterday's first reading and today's gospel, and you get a great introduction and instruction for the season of Advent.